Well, hello, everyone. I'm James Dobson, and you're listening to Family Talk, a listener-supported ministry. In fact, thank you so much for being part of that support for James Dobson Family Institute.
Welcome to Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh, and today on the program, we are sharing the second half of Dr. Tim Clinton's conversation with author and evangelist Mark Middleburg. They'll be talking about Mark's latest book, Contagious Faith: Discover Your Natural Style for Sharing Jesus with Others. Now, if you missed part one of their conversation, you can listen to it when you go to drjamesdobson.org/broadcast. Mark Middleburg is a best-selling author, an international speaker, and the executive director of the Lee Strobel Center for Evangelism and Applied Apologetics at Colorado Christian University. Mark and his wife Heidi live near Denver, Colorado, and are the parents of Emma Jean and Matthew. Today, Dr. Clinton and Mark Middleburg are talking more about how you can discover your natural style for sharing Christ. Let's listen into the conversation right now.
I want to get into these natural styles for sharing Jesus with others. You teased it out yesterday. We closed with a conversation a little bit about our families and Dr. Dobson's line, be there. And there's no greater gift as a parent you can give to your kids than to help them understand and hopefully embrace a relationship with God in Christ. And Mark, let's start there. That's the heart of all of this.
Absolutely. And I love talking about it because the Contagious Faith book is dedicated to both my grandmother and my dad, who took a family that was, you know, not following the Lord. Let's just put it that way. First, my grandmother came to Christ, and then my father, who was trying to escape a situation with an alcoholic father, he signed up for the Navy while World War II was still raging. And that really strikes me as like, how badly do you want to get away from a rough family situation? But he did. And he joined the Navy. And while he was in boot camp, the war ended. But God used it. And again, the story's in the book, but his commanding officer turned out to be a believer and shared Christ with him, took a very direct approach, but also a friendship building approach. My dad ended up going to an event with an upstart ministry called Youth for Christ. And my dad heard the gospel and gave his life to Christ and then followed Christ from there on out. He went to college at Wheaton, where he met my mom. He married my mom and he raised a family to know Christ. He, as he says, using the old King James, raised us in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And I grew up knowing what was right and believing it, but then kind of took an excursion through my high school years. But then finally, at age 19, one night I was probably coming back from a party or something, and I tried to sneak in and get up to my bedroom. I still lived at home at that point. And he kind of cut me off at the pass, and he looked at me and he talked to me about the Lord and said, you know, I've done my best to raise you in the truth, but he said, I've committed you to the Lord. I'm putting you in the Lord's hands. And I remember thinking, good, that means you're not going to bug me about stuff. And then the second thought was, but the Lord sees everything. It's like he put me into the hands of an omniscient presence, and this is scary. Well, that was an eye-opening night for me, and it began a process where it wasn't long after that I gave my life to Christ and really, for real, committed my life to Jesus. But it was because of the influence, like I say, of my dad, my mom, my Christian siblings, and my grandmother, Effa Middleburg, who prayed for me every day. And that's part of my passion now with teaching others is, again, not just to reach people out there somewhere, people you have to meet or work with or in the neighborhood, but your own sons and daughters and their kids and, you know, people within the family circle who are created to know Christ but need to come to know him personally.
I'm thinking of the words of John when he wrote, I have no greater joy than to know my children walk in the truth. You know, the scripture says there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels. Mark, you think that is in reference to people coming to Christ?
Oh, it's clear. Yeah, that's Luke chapter 15, that there's a party in heaven for every sinner who repents. Every one of us, when we turn to Christ, when I was 19 and I finally quit going my own way and said yes to Jesus, I think there was a party for me. And I think there's a whole bunch of parties waiting to happen, you know, for the people that we're called to reach, the people we're supposed to be talking to. And we just got to do our part and take a small risk. And what are we really risking anyway? So they say, I don't agree with that, or I'm not sure. Okay, that doesn't devastate my life. Let's keep talking.
I love what we talked about yesterday, Mark, and I'm going to go back there. God began a work in you. Yeah. And man, is he doing a work in and through you to train people to be bold and contagious in their faith walk. And Mark, God, I believe, revealed to you styles of how we influence people for Christ. Let's go back to that conversation we started yesterday.
Sure.
And let's start out with that very first style.
I'd love to.
And Mark, there got to be strengths and weaknesses to all of them, right?
Yeah, and I write about that in the Contagious Faith book that, you know, for instance, the first one is the friendship building. And these are people that are people, and they love to build strong friendships and warm relationships and have great conversations. The danger is that you start caring more about
the friendship,
having the smooth friendship. You don't want to ripple the pond too much by bringing up hard issues and so forth. And I think in that case, I just want to remind us that, you know, the most loving thing we can do is point people back to Christ, or if they've kind of veered off the rails spiritually, to bring them back, as it tells us in Galatians 6, if someone wanders away, bring them back. So we've got to be willing to risk them not liking it. I told you before about when I was 19, the guy who challenged me, and he said, "You claim to be a Christian, but I know too much about your life." And I said, "Well, I'm a cool Christian." That was my response. It was the best thing I could come up with at the moment. You know, we don't get hung up on the rules.
You didn't wear those big blue jeans and bell bottoms and all that, did you?
Oh, I probably did, yeah. But I was like, we just have more fun. He goes, "Well, there's a term for cool Christians." And I said, "What's that?" And he said, "Hypocrites." And, you know, that, by the way, that was not the friendship building style. That was the truth telling style. Very direct. That's like Peter in the Bible. But I was mad. You know, I kind of attacked him. I said, "Well, you think your life is perfect, Terry? You got everything figured out?" And he said, "No, but at least I'm honest about it." But, you know, he made me angry, but he made me think. And that thought and reflection turned to repentance over the next few days. And within a week's time, I gave my life to Christ. So with all of these styles, we've got to be willing to speak hard truths sometimes, to, you know, to speak the truth in love, as Paul says. And I think for a friendship builder, build those friendships, but get to the point too. Get to the point where you say, "Could I share something with you that is really the most important thing I think I could tell you? And that's about my Savior." And again, you'll feel awkward at times, or it won't come out quite right, but God can use it.
But if you have a relationship with that person,
yes.
Yeah, it tends to really open up their heart's door. Because a lot
exactly
of people
right.
have closed spirits, Mark.
Yeah.
I know in my own life, I appreciate people who I really believe care and are invested in me.
Yeah.
You know, when we have a relationship, that does something to me. The second style, selfless serving.
Yes. Example is Tabitha in Acts 9, who was making clothing for needy people. And it must have been important, because if you read the text in Acts 9, she died. And God sent an apostle. He sent Peter to pray over her, raise her back to life, and put her back to work. So, you know, this stuff's important. And, you know, we underestimate how important it is in the kingdom of heaven, and how much God wants us to be active in sharing our faith. And Tabitha did that. She was kind of like a first century Mother Teresa, you know, serving in tangible, physical ways that caused heads to turn heavenward and think in spiritual ways about God and about his salvation. And I just love folks with this style. It's not my main one, but, you know, they see needs that a lot of us don't see. They find joy in meeting them. But again, you mentioned the cautions, or, you know, kind of the downside. A lot of times these folks want to serve silently. And my challenge to them is, you're opening doors. You're building bridges with hurting people in many cases, but don't neglect to tell them the most important part. And that's that the love of Jesus is what motivates you. and that he's changed you and he can change them. He's forgiven you. He can forgive them. So you got to get to the point of the gospel and not just do loving acts of service.
We host an annual men's event, and Mark, I often see men want to serve, and they don't know how or what to do. They struggle with relationships. Maybe they struggle with drawing on scripture and having a lot of scripture verses in their, quote, bank.
Yeah.
But they're really good at taking some kids out fishing.
Yes.
Teaching them how to build an engine, coaching a baseball team or what have you. And so in your mind, that's a great, great way to evangelize. Just make sure you bring it all the way home is what you're saying.
Yeah. Paul said, how will they know? This is Romans 10. How will they know unless we go to them and tell them? And there's some people that like to promote approaches to evangelism where you just live it and you don't ever say anything. That's not biblical. We do need to live it. And if you have the selfless serving style, boy, you'll reach the hardest to reach people, but you won't really reach them unless you get to the point where you talk about it. You've got to put it in words. And whether you do it verbally in the normal, discussion, or give them a little book to read, or point them to a good radio broadcast, or however you do it, to point them to a source of truth and to the source that will share the gospel with them. Then you're mixing truth and love, and you can really reach them for Christ.
You're listening to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors, and your host here today. Our special, I'll call it in-studio guest, is Mark Middleburg. We're up at his place up in the mountains here in Colorado and having a dynamic conversation about his new book, Contagious Faith, Discover Your Natural Style for Sharing Jesus with Others. Mark, I love this. I really do. I think a lot of people are going to say, I want to really press in to my natural gifting here. I didn't realize that I had a natural gift in evangelism.
Yeah.
And I want to learn to do that really well. And I don't want to leave it short.
Yeah.
I want to bring it all the way home. We're up to our third style, Mark, and it's about story sharing.
Yes. And this is the one that flows out of our own experience. And by the way, I should add, I think we can all do elements of these. If you're a follower of Jesus, you have a story to share, and there might be times you'll use it and other times you won't. But for some of us, like I mentioned, Lee Strobel, my friend who wrote The Case for Christ and a bunch of other great books, that's his main approach. He tells his story. I used to be an atheist, and now I found Christ. But what I caution people on this is you don't have to have been an atheist. You don't have to have been, in prison or, some dramatic story. I was a boring church kid who wandered away from my faith. Whatever your story is, there's people out there that will relate to it. And again, for some of us, this is our main approach, is to talk about our own experience with Christ in ways that will relate to them. I always try to remind people that the most important person in that conversation is the person you're talking to. That, in other words, you tell the parts of your story that will relate best to them. Because what you're trying to do is show them through your life that they can find what they need. Hmm. So you're applying your experience to their situation.
Mark, people, they shouldn't play down these giftings they have. And that's what I want people to make sure they hear today.
Yeah.
These are natural giftings that people have. You're identifying them and saying, grow them.
Yeah.
For the power of the gospel.
Steward what God gave you. He gave you your personality on purpose. You're not an accident. We use that verse where he knit me together in my mother's womb. Well, that's not true just physically. It's true emotionally and in terms of your personality. God needed a lot of unique people. He didn't need a bunch of clones. And so he gave you your unique mix, and he wants to work through it.
Mark, some have the gift of what you call is reason-giving style.
Yeah.
Explain that to us.
Yeah, some of us are just hopelessly logical.
Like a Mark Middleburg.
Yeah, when I talk to people and they say, give me something emotional, it's like, oh, I'll try, but let me give you some logic with it, because our God is a God that makes sense. And the Bible presents truth that can be investigated, and we have evidence for our faith. And I think there's a lot of young people who are drifting from their faith because they've been convinced it's based on myths and the Bible's full of mistakes. And I just want to say, oh yeah, let's look at it. Let's reason together. Let's study this. A lot like, you know, Paul, and Paul's the example I use in the Contagious Faith book, where in Acts 17, he's on Mars Hill talking to a bunch of philosophers.
Yeah.
And he reasons with them, and he presents a logical presentation of the gospel. And some of these hardcore philosophers end up giving their lives to Christ right at the end of that passage. And we live in a secular culture where people have doubts, they have questions, they need information. And I think more than ever, we need to be ready, as it says in 1 Peter 3:15, to give a reason for the hope that we have. To give answers, to give logic, so that people say, okay, this makes sense. And not that that automatically makes them a Christian, but it opens the door for them to say, all right, now that I see it's true, what's the point? The point is, you're a sinner who needs a savior just like me. And you can trust the God who will forgive you and give you eternal life. And by the way, this may be worth mentioning. I talked about Lee Strobel being a storyteller. He's also a reason giver.
Sure he is.
I want to use that to kind of illustrate something. We're not trying to limit anyone to one of these. You may be two or three or four, or you may have all of them. Great. You got lots of rails to run on. But the point is, you can do at least one of these.
I think one of the saddest pieces in the Bible, was it with Paul, with King Agrippa? And the statement was almost,
yes,
thou persuadest me to be a Christian.
Acts 26, yeah, you've almost persuaded me. And I like how Paul doesn't back down and say, well, I wasn't trying to persuade you. Well, of course he was. Paul often said, we persuade people. That's what we do. And because some Christians get nervous, well, you're trying to change someone's mind. Yeah, because they need the truth. Yeah. So yes, we are like Paul, trying to persuade people and show them this is true, and it's truth you need. So are we trying to change minds? Absolutely, but not in a manipulative way. We're not trying to force anyone. We're just trying to say we've got good reason to believe what we believe about God and about the Bible and about Jesus, and it makes sense. And more than that, it leads to life. So let's look into it together.
Yeah. The final style is the truth-telling style.
Yes.
Mark, those are the ones who God has just called them to just stand up and be bold and strong, and not that the other styles aren't.
Yeah.
And by the way, God uses it.
Oh, absolutely. These are people that have kind of an edge a little bit. This is Peter as our example in Scripture.
Sure.
And day of Pentecost, he gets up and gives his sermon. He basically says, God sent his Messiah. You killed him, you're in big trouble. You know, it's like, he's like not beating around. This is a Jewish audience, you know, and he's saying, you crucified the Messiah, you're in trouble. And they're going, we know, what do we have to do to be saved? He said, I'm so glad you asked. Well, here's the good news. The Messiah you murdered came back to life 3 days later, and he's not mad at you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to give you life. And he just very directly presents the truth. And you know the rest of the story. 3,000 people said yes and trusted Christ and were baptized into the church that day. And, you know, I love people with this very direct, hard-hitting approach. The Greg
John
Laurie.
The Baptist.
Well, John the Baptist.
Billy Grahams.
Yeah.
And more.
Huh? Greg Laurie. Franklin Graham.
I mean, D. James Kennedy and all those people.
Exactly.
Yes.
They're very hard-hitting, very direct. And like my friend Terry, who challenged me when I gave my life to Christ at age 19, the main thing is to just have the courage to speak up and to kind of challenge people to get off the fence, because a lot of people are on the fence and need that kind of challenge, like I did.
Mark, I had someone tell me early as a preacher boy back in the day that, Tim, you can't save anybody. No one comes unto the Father save the Spirit draw him or her.
Yeah.
So what you're doing is you are an agent, if you will, conduit.
Yeah.
Through which God channels that message. Our requirement is simply to be faithful, to be stewards of that talent. or that calling in our lives, right?
Yeah, to speak up. Sometimes people get hyper spiritual with this, and they'll say, you know, I can't save anyone. God has to do it, and therefore I'm not doing anything. You know, well, that's a cop out because He chose us as His vehicle.
Sure,
there is a divinely ordained partnership between God and us. We can't do anything without Him, but we are called to be His witnesses. So as we go out and open our mouths and take risks and speak up and feel inadequate afterwards, we usually do. But, you know, Jesus said, "Lo, I will be with you always." The more we open our mouths and take risks for the sake of the gospel, the more people end up in heaven.
If we ended this broadcast and we didn't share the gospel, I think we missed everything.
Yeah.
And Mark, could you just share the gospel maybe for someone who's driving down the road, maybe someone who's in their home right now, and they're saying, "I want to know who they know. I want that freedom in my life."
I'd love to. The good news of the gospel is that even though we've offended and disobeyed a holy God, and even though we deserve His punishment, we deserve separation from God for eternity. He didn't want it to end up that way. He loves us too much. And He said, "I'm going to send my Son to pay the penalty you deserve. And He's going to die on the cross for you." And that's exactly what He did. Jesus wasn't coerced to come. He said, "Here I am, send me." He came and willingly gave His life for you. And all we need to do is admit that we're sinners who need a Savior and acknowledge that Jesus is the Savior who God sent, who died for us, who rose to give us life, and to say yes to Him. That's what I did when I was 19. "God, I'm tired of going my own way. I know I've disobeyed you. I've sinned against you. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Please be my forgiver and be my leader from this day forward." And I did that, and that changed my life forever. And if you'll say yes to Him and make Him your forgiver and leader, it'll change your life from this day forward.
We've spent 2 days talking about Contagious Faith, your new book, Discover Your Natural Style for Sharing Jesus with Others. Let me say this. If you don't have a copy of this book, you need to get this book. Mark, there's a video series that goes with this. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I'm so excited about it. It's 6 weeks. It's video. I teach on it, and it's for your small group or your class, or even whole churches can go through it together, like maybe a Sunday night series or Sunday morning or whatever. But and we go through these 5 styles and help everyone identify theirs. There's a questionnaire you fill out to help know what your top style is and any secondary styles you have. I also interview people who are examples of the 5 styles. But anyway, we go through that, and it'll help everyone in your group discover their style and key skills they need to develop to become effective. And you can all do this together.
Mark, you also mentioned the Strobel Center at Colorado Christian University. Just share with our listeners a little bit of what's happening there.
Oh, I'm so excited. Lee and I have been ministry partners for over 30 years. We're all about reaching people and training others to do the same and teaching apologetics. Well, we started the Lee Strobel Center for Evangelism and Applied Apologetics at Colorado Christian University. And yes, that's a mouthful, but we're so excited about it, where you can come and get an accredited degree in evangelism or apologetics. You can get a master's degree, an undergraduate degree, or we have low-cost certificate courses you can take just to learn the information. Maybe you don't care about getting college credit. But folks can learn more about that. We have a website, strobelcenter.com, and they can learn about it, sign up, and we want to help train you to be more and more effective in these areas.
You know, what's exciting, Mark, is I know these are, again, our unprecedented times. These are difficult days.
Yeah.
But the exciting thing is God is moving. He's at work. Really excited about what you all are doing up there at Colorado Christian University, and really excited about this book. Mark, is there a website someone could go to just find everything?
Yes, we have a site called contagiousfaithbook.com. So it's just the title of the book and the word book, contagiousfaithbook.com. And they can get information on the book, the 6-week training course. There's actually a little online questionnaire they can do to help identify what their top style is. And there's discounts on the materials for churches and groups as well.
Hey, on behalf of Dr. Dobson, his wife Shirley, the entire team at Family Talk, we tip the hat to you guys. And again, we're going to pray that God will do a work where only He can get all the praise and glory for it. Amen. Thank you so much, Mark, for joining us.
Thank you.
You're listening to Family Talk, and that was the conclusion of Dr. Tim Clinton's important conversation with Mark Middleburg. These two Christian leaders talked about our call as followers of Christ to share the gospel. God has given you just the tools you need to share the good news in your own personal style right where you are. For more information about Mark Middleburg, his newest book, Contagious Faith, or if you'd like to listen to any part of the program that you may have missed, just visit drjamesdobson.org/broadcast. Thanks for making Family Talk a part of your day, whether you listen on your favorite Christian radio station, a podcast platform, or stream the show from our website. We are so glad that you have found us. And please join us again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.